You're listening to the Archie J Experience, Millennial Conversations, because sometimes therapy's just not in the budget.
What's up, everybody? So you know that we right now we're in a we're in the state of the world, right? And politics is everything that is trending, especially for this month as we lead up into the big day, hitting the polls. You can definitely vote early, as we know. But you know, I want to talk about some things. We just witnessed a vice presidential debate between Senator Kamala Harris, and Vice President Michael Pence. But you know, I'm joined by two friends of the show and friends in real life. It's Shar Jossel is here, journalist, entertainment reporter, and political commentator, along with my guy Troy, aka Mr. L. Davis, socialite, music publisher, and social commentator. How y'all doing?
You know what? I'm doing as best as I can for this to be the tail end of the year. Personally, I'm still grappling with the fact, like, I'm legitimately still wrapping my head around it being October. I think that's been a very sobering moment for me to realize, like, every day when I look at the calendar, I'm like, we are really in October, Lord. Like, this is October.
Mid-October.
We're about to roll up on Election Day, which is in 20-something days. I'm as good as I can be right now, and I could be worse. So I'm standing in the frame of gratitude because things are good right now.
I feel that.
You know, I'm blessing the city and blessing the fields like always. You know, making the best out of what we have and just staying prayed up like candy. That's all
okay.
I got.
Okay. And we fly above, and we'll talk about it.
We fly above all the haters.
But overall. Overall,
I
want to get into you guys' thoughts from the vice presidential debate. We witnessed history. I will acknowledge that with the first Black woman, you know, on the ticket in that position on, you know, national television and streaming elsewhere. So what are your overall thoughts? I'll go with Shar first.
You know, I went into the debate knowing, hoping, praying that Kamala would eviscerate this man. And she did exactly that. I wanted him to be embarrassed, but I think eviscerate, using that type of adjective, packs a bit more of a punch as to what I was looking for. And so I thought that she did a fantastic job of answering the questions at hand. I thought that she was even keeled, because we all know, you know, the optics as it pertains to a Black woman on the world stage. You know, I think, even if you aren't aware of the optics and how quickly you can be shifted and turned into the angry Black woman, so to speak, I think the biggest lesson we learned was from 2008 during President Obama's first run and how Michelle Obama was villainized for just existing. So I thought that Kamala did such a great job at, you know, some people wanted her to go in harder, but I think she did perfect optics wise as far as remaining even keeled and asserting herself, because I will not be lectured. And I'm still speaking, you know, Mr. Vice President, I'm still speaking. And I thought that she answered the questions from the moderator, which was the most important thing. There was no real deflection. Like, she performed well last night.
Yeah. Troy?
I kind of echo the same sentiments as Shar. I do think that in these debates, they need to be a little more relative to the everyday person. I feel like a lot of the shit they was talking about, I mean, I kind of want to know a little bit more about how my everyday life is going to be affected. You know, they'll touch on the economy, they'll touch on, you know, coronavirus, they'll touch on all of these things, but it's like, what is actually going to affect my day-to-day living? Mm-hmm. I feel that they were very political in their answers.
Yeah.
And for me, as somebody that is like, I'm well versed in politics, but that's not my thing. I need them to, no shade, dumb it down a little bit and stop making it, like, be personable. Mm-hmm. I think that the thing about Joe Biden and his debate is he was trying his best to be as personal as possible. I felt like last night they were just really like trying to be political and you get lost in that. Cause you're like, what are you talking about? Like, first of all, I don't know about foreign policy. That's just not what I do. So when you start talking about that, you got to put it in like layman's terms for people to understand. That's how I felt.
I received that. I want to talk about this really quick, just because in comparison to when, as you both kind of, Shar, you mentioned, and then Troy, to your stand of like being personable, in comparison, when Obama first ran, he captivated people, right? There was this, sure, there's this connection, and it was more than like, oh, we black, so like we rocking with him. It was a synergy that we gained from this political figure, and I feel like we're missing that in both, you know, in both campaigns. Do you agree?
For sure. I know, yeah, I do.
Yeah, I agree to an extent, because just to push back against what LaTroy just said, I thought that, what? For example, Kamala, I felt that she did have pockets of being personable. She addressed the camera head on, which was in turn addressing the American people. And most importantly, she answered the questions. And yeah, they did have those breakdowns of like foreign policy. And of course, what I call the Negro segment when we talk race relations. I felt like they've been missing the mark without, you know, with not addressing LGBT issues, you know? Mm-hmm. But
what
I think,
part did you feel was personable? Like, what part did you feel like, oh, I connect with either one of them? I hope you don't.
I mean, honestly, it was most of Kamala's answers. It was, I can't really pinpoint anything specifically. Yes, it was most of Kamala's answers, because she was pointed and very, very pointed and very, very punctuated in what she had to say. But mm-hmm. I didn't feel personally that she was not talking directly to me. Like, I didn't feel like she was talking down to me. I felt like she was talking to me through the TV, if that mm-hmm. makes sense.
Yeah, and it wasn't like a talking down thing for me. It was just more so talking about things that I don't think necessarily affect my day-to-day life.
But see, couldn't someone argue the day-to-day life, the day-to-day policy that boils down to local elections and local government? Because there's only so much that the presidency can do. Like, as far as local, that boils down to, you know, Eric Garcetti and the girls in office here in California. Yeah. So that's why we all need to brush up on our stuff as well. As far as like knowing, like, I know that I have, you know, dark spots when it comes to electing judges and local officials, but I would venture to say that that's mostly where our day-to-day lives would be affected. There's only so much that the presidency can do, especially when we're dealing with Senate and this damn Supreme Court, which is probably going to ruin a lot of our lives with Amy, what's her name? Amy Coman Barrett?
Yeah,
whatever.
Amy, yes.
This is how I feel about, look, Amy Schumer, right? But here's how I feel about that. You always have to start at the head of the snake, right? Because if you keep cutting off the tail of the snake, the tail can keep growing back. For me, you have to start at the commander-in-chief, whatever that means these days, to actually evoke change. Because what's the point?
Like, so what would you have liked, sorry to cut you off, but what would you have liked to have seen from last night's debate? What would you like, you were talking about like your day-to-day, is there a specific topic or a specific area that you would have preferred for them to address during the debate?
Sure, like I feel like what you said about LGBTQ plus communities has not been addressed. That's something that I deal with day to day. I feel like they really skate over the whole racism, white supremacy thing. They addressed it, but then it's like, all right, let's get that out the way. There's also the issue of small businesses. Like, where, like, that affects me day to day. Like, I have a small business, so what are you really going to do? Everybody wants to talk about, oh, coronavirus, the stimulus package, whatever, whatever, but nobody ever actually says what's the plan for people that are affected in those situations right now.
And you want that verbalized on that.
Because
it's day to day. Like, I got to worry about how I'm going to pay the rent. I got to worry about, you know, if I'm going to go out in the streets and I have a president that's in enticing hate towards gay people or enticing hate towards black people. And they touch on being black in America, but they touch on it. They never really go in. And I feel like that's when we need the platforms. Like, back in the day, they used to go on BET and have town halls. You know what I'm saying? And it would be targeted to black people. That's not happening.
I will say, I do like that, you know, it is brought up, but I feel like in order to keep a production like that moving, I feel like talking about the race and gender and sexuality and all those types of things, that is a show in itself. So I feel like, honestly, Kamala addressed it, you know, Pence did what he did, and Susan, she tried to move along the show. So I feel like we did the best with are given a lot of time and things like that. I do want to ask you guys this,
though. But some things is not a constraint. Like, some things you just have to touch on and you have to speak about in length. Mm-hmm. Like, some things you can't just touch on and be like, okay, well, I talked about it. Like, especially when it's such a huge issue right now. Like, it's such a huge issue.
Well, I think it should be noted, given their track records, like Kamala has a very problematic track record as it pertains to trans women in particular. But then again, Mike Pence, like, what we have to also examine is, like, during the primaries, there were LGBT town halls that were held, at least for the Democratic side. Mike Pence wouldn't have shown up to something like that. And that is, again, in his track record. A lot of this information can be found on their respective websites. But we know how Mike Pence did not, I don't want to misquote anything, but, you know, in layman's terms, he didn't do anything about an HIV/AIDS epidemic in the state of Indiana. We know that Mike Pence is very, his politics are very under his eye type, handmaid's tale type politics as it pertains to women's reproductive rights and LGBT rights and gay marriage specifically. So even with hiccups.
But when you say we know, is that people that follow it? Because I feel like now we're at a space and a time where people are paying attention. Let's just be honest. Everybody doesn't pay attention to the primaries. Everybody doesn't pay attention when there's 18 people running. You know what I'm saying? This is the point in the time where it's very convoluted. It's like everybody is watching. Everybody knows who to watch. And people are paying attention. And I just feel like there's a lot of marks that are missed. And maybe because, to your point, maybe it's because they feel like they've already hit them. But when you're running for this, for like the highest position of the land, you got to keep hitting it and keep hitting it and keep hitting it so people understand.
I feel like we can do this all day, but I do want to ask you, like, as you were saying, like, we are drawn to the focal point of the highest chief of the land, as you said. Why do you think that we fall short as a millennial, as a citizen group, when it comes to maybe educating ourselves as a whole with everybody who is on that ticket? Because there's more than just the VP and the president to be elect.
I think people fall short because, and I say this totally understanding a lot of people's plight, but a lot of people have become disillusioned with the two-party voting system. However, these are the cards we're dealt right now. And, you know, I was actually just watching Red Table Talk, reluctantly, I should say, watching Red Table Talk. This week's episode featured Ice Cube and Van Jones, two very vocal, very public Black men who have repeatedly gotten on my nerves this year with their hot takes. But Van Jones said something along the lines of, I hope I don't butcher this quote.
I have the quote, actually, if you want it.
Oh, sure.
We got quotes. What is this, honey?
Well, I tweeted it last night.
Yeah, basically, you cannot get everything you want by voting, but you can lose everything you've got by not voting.
Exactly. That is the quote. And I feel like a lot of people need to adopt that frame of thinking because, like I said, I do understand the disillusionment. People feel like, much like LaTroy was just talking about, how is my everyday life going to be affected? Because, you know, these last few elections, let's face it, every 4 years, it's the election of our lifetime. But I'd venture to say that this particular election is really that.
Yeah.
This is really the chickens coming home to roost, so to speak. Like this will change the trajectory even further for the futures of everybody in the United States of America. So I need, like, I've been trying to energize people, and luckily I haven't come across anybody, a lot of people I should say, that do not plan on voting. But I've been in conversation with a lot of peers who's like, oh, girl, my cousins. I got about 12 cousins that aren't voting. And like I said,
I feel like to the question Archie asked, as far as our generation kind of being reluctant to get into like politics and, you know, outside of just the presidential part of it, it's so much.
Yeah.
Like back in the day, we wasn't seeing commercials for people in Connecticut. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like our parents weren't worried about what was going on in other states. So when you're over-inundated with information and choices and parties, bipartisan, independent, green parties, all of that, it can become too much for a person where they get turned off.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's why our generation is just like, I'm going to vote for the president and that's it. Or I'm not going to vote at all. Because like even in California, all these propositions, I don't know what they're talking about.
But see, that's the benefit to me, in my opinion, that would be the benefit of truly taking advantage of voting from home this year, because you have the World Wide Web right in front of you. So if you have any questions about maybe Proposition 20, you can Google. They also, I have a booklet on my floor that was mailed to me the day before I received my ballot, which is still on my bed. I have yet to fill it out and turn it in, but it will be.
Okay.
But I have a booklet that was mailed to me the day before my ballot arrived that details out everything. And so I
which
think that
it's overwhelming
to,
for you, but so, for but, a lot of so, people, that's so overwhelming. To
me, for a lot of people, it's showing their laziness, I think, because it's like... No, and I say that lightly. I'm not trying to insult anyone, but it's like there's only you're an adult. There's only so much hand holding other adults can give you throughout this process. You should feel energized to go out there and do the work in order to get the changes that you want implemented in your life or in your neck of the woods, your neighborhood. You should feel energized. You should feel inspired to maybe go out. Like I said, we carry these devices in our pockets and our purses every day. If you can get on Twitter to tweet, you can get on Twitter to research policy.
But that's not true, because it's not synonymous. When you are overwhelmed with something, when you don't know something, you're not educated on something, the human reaction is to not participate. It's to put it in the back of your brain. So going on Twitter talking about something that you saw as a tweet is not the same as saying, oh, I'm going to educate myself on Proposition 265,000. It's like, it's just so much for some people.
So especially if
that's not your thing.
So what do we now say to the people who are overwhelmed, who are perpetually overwhelmed but have not tried, and then are going to sit around and in turn, if it's doomsday, if November 4th turns out to be doomsday, I don't want to hear any complaints, because you didn't do the work. Like I said, there's only so much hand-holding that people who are doing the work can do for other adults, our peers, our counterparts. There's only
correct,
so much.
Correct, but we're talking about more than just, like, I feel like the normal, the everyday person will know how they're going to vote in the presidential election. I feel like we're talking about
the local level.
Senate, other sectors. Senate, like I said, literally every day I turn on TV is a new proposition. I don't know what that means. And I don't feel like people do a great job at educating people so that they don't feel overwhelmed. Like,
you know what? I'll give you that because I did see an ad where it's like, you know, they do them short, like vote no on Proposition 20. Like, I'm a military vet, vote no on proposition. And it's like, okay, but what is it?
What am I voting for?
Yeah. To both of your guys' points, I like recognize that. I know for me, like even when I was like my earliest of voting, right? Really was like not that big into politics, but it's just like before I go in here and vote a day before, I want to see what all is on there because that information is online. You know what I'm saying? And let me educate myself on what they stand for real quick. If it's one or two, three bullet points, it's like do a little bit of legwork. But I understand what you're saying when there's a lot of fucking information out there that I really can't consume along with work, along with kids. But it's like do the work to have some sort of knowledge.
I have a question.
So in this country, let's just be very honest, do you think there's more educated people or more uneducated people?
Education is subjective because it is dependent and contingent on areas.
Who is knowledgeable?
Let me rephrase.
Who is knowledgeable?
Is there more enlightened people or less not enlightened people in this country?
There's less enlightened people. You can look at the way we treat each other.
You feel like there's more enlightened people or less?
No, he said less.
There's less enlightened people, less knowledgeable people, less open-minded people. Less educated people. I mean, look at our poverty rates.
And so what you're asking is for what we say is, let's put air quotes, uneducated people and people that are not enlightened to do what educated and enlightened people would do. And so, they're just not going to do that.
But LaTroy, in fairness, what I will say is, and I know that my social media does not, I want to preface this by saying, I know that my social media is not reflective of the world. However, before each debate, I do a poll on my Instagram. And so what do you do when people who quote unquote, emphasis on quote unquote, are not as educated or interested or however you want to frame it, what do you do when they're clicking no to watching the debate? What I'm saying is, what's the answer?
You gotta meet them where they are.
Where are they at?
I apologize. I'm not willing to do that work for a fully functioning adult. I'm just not.
Yeah, personally, I mean, I'm not. But you're also not running for office. But that's, and I feel like that's why so many people.
So what should they do?
They have to meet them where they are.
They're meeting them in their living room, but they're choosing not to watch the debate.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, even me, as I would think I'm semi-educated, when I watch the debate, some of the stuff, I don't know what they're talking about. So, mm-hmm. and if I'm watching a debate where I am so totally lost,
let
I'm
me ask you
off.
That. When you hear that, you're a little lost. Do you be like, let me just Google that word or whatever the heck they was talking about? Or you just keep it moving like, well, I don't know what they're talking about.
I don't know what that means. I look on Twitter to see who's talking about it.
Let me ask you guys this. You, Shar, you mentioned that your ballot is on your bed. Do you guys have faith? Yes. I mean, faith. Do you guys have faith? You guys have faith?
Stay with it.
You guys have faith in this whole voting by mail system, which is ultimately going to, I think, slow us down in getting the results. Do you have faith?
I've always voted by mail. Mm-hmm. Except for when the first time I voted for Barack Obama, I actually went. Okay. But I've always voted by mail. Voting by mail has not been an issue until y'all homegirl Trump made it an issue. Like, people have voted by mail for years. Mm. And I don't know why it's such a big issue now.
For me personally, I never voted by mail. It's just a personal preference. It is a personal preference. I like being there in person. I like seeing my ballot go in that little black box. Like, I enjoy
the process.
It's not a box
no more, it's a computer.
I know, because I really enjoyed what they did. I really enjoyed what they did for the primaries on March 3rd when I voted. It was everything's like a large iPad.
Yeah,
but
I like
say
that.
Right. Yeah, I say that to say I'm someone who actually prefers voting in person. Mm-hmm. It's just the experience, and I feel like my vote is counted. Like, when you vote by mail, like, one of my friends did just give me a website that I guess I can pass along if you don't mind me doing so, Archie. It's California, and this would be whatever your respective state is, whoever is listening. But california.ballottracks.net, and tracks is with an X. So california.ballottracks.net.
And do we trust dot net?
What this site does is it tracks your ballot up until the point where it is counted. Like, you know it's counted. And that's been my one trepidation. So that's why I'm like, I'm making sure I vote
your one
early.
What?
Trepidation.
What is that, honey? See, that's what I'm talking about when you were watching these debates and they use words. I'm so confused.
But listen, it's okay.
Dinosaur Jurassic Park.
My
what's
one.
That? That's a trepidation over there. Wait, what?
I'll say hesitation then, because
I don't know what trepidation means.
It's a synonym for hesitation.
It's synonymous with hesitation. However, what I'm saying is that, like, I am voting early. I'm voting early if I can, because I know as November 4th or November 3rd approaches, it's going to be more and more zoo-like. I'm a little scared of what the public is going to be like. You know, Trump did energize his base after he and Biden's first debate, encouraging people to be poll watchers. We don't know what the environment is going to be like. And so I feel like, let me finish my thought really quickly. So I feel like what I'm thinking I'm going to do is I'm going to fill it out and then turn it in person. That's what I'm thinking, because I still part of me don't, I don't trust the mail in. I just don't.
But so what you think they're gonna do with your ballot if they have it early that they wouldn't do if they got it in the mail? Like, where does the security come from when you take it and drop it off 3 weeks early versus you mailing it in 3 weeks early?
I think for me it's purely psychological. Feel like my vote is counted. I'm there in person type thing, you know?
I relate to that. I relate, because I know for me, I even feel weird when I have to ship something back from Amazon and I'm like, I hope it makes it. It's just like a security, psychological mind thing. I need to see it make it to the hands of who it's supposed to get to. They're trusted volunteers.
Hopefully it's the right hand.
Hopefully it's the right hand.
Everybody not saved that they say they saved.
It will be the right hands. We're speaking that over our lives. I want to talk about COVID really quick. President Trump had COVID. I had COVID. And
He has COVID.
The White House, though, was recently a hotspot for such COVID.
is still currently still, a hot spot.
Okay, it's hot over there, right?
Let them know, Greg. Honk the horn on their ass.
What were your thoughts when you saw, you know, this event that happened at the White House and all these names started coming out contracting testing positive for COVID?
That's what they get. That was my reaction. Y'all want to act like the shit not real? That's what your ass gets. That's how I feel. How about that?
My reaction was much of the same. It was like, well, you know, as someone, one of my cousins is currently battling COVID. We're the same age. And, you know, I just was on your show earlier a few months ago in April, I believe, or May. And I had just lost an uncle to coronavirus on Good Friday. This is something that it is insulting, you know, like I'm sure we've all seen or read the talking points. You know, there's 210,000 and counting Americans who have lost their lives. And personally, I'm a bit on edge, you know, as we transition into cold and flu season. I'm gonna be even more on lockdown because I don't have the emotional fortitude to gauge whether someone who coughed over there or sneezed, if they're battling the common cold or if they're battling Rona. I don't want to be guessing that.
You've been in the house, right, Shaw? You're one of those people that are like, I was that for like the first 5 months, but then my birthday came and
I have consistently but Shaw has been like, in the house.
She's been locked up. They won't let her out. They won't let her out.
Well, no, this has been purely by choice, only because I'm terrified. I live alone. I'm a single woman who lives alone. And God forbid I contract it, I'm going to be battling it alone. And I'd much rather be bored staring up at the ceiling of my bedroom than bored staring up at fluorescent lights at, you know, the Pasadena Hospital, you know, trying to get well soon.
Tell them to take you to Cedars, honey. Go to Cedars. That's where the people go.
I'm not trying to be anywhere. How about that?
Okay.
I'm fine just in here. So, I've really been on lockdown because the pandemic isn't over for me.
Y'all have stayed clear, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I just got over it by the name of Jesus as well. So
how did you get over? Like, what was it like though?
Well, I talked about this on the last episode. Tune in. I had a hard 2 days, really. You know, I had maybe a easier leg of it, but the 2 days were really hard. You know, it was just like I had chills. It was just like a lot of like flu symptoms and things like that. And then when I would miss a meal, my face would go numb. But I am still standing and I lost my sense of taste and smell, but it came back in at 7 days. So.
That's good. I know people. Like
I know people that lost it for 5 weeks. Yeah,
I know people who still haven't gotten it back. Who battled COVID, the heavy COVID symptoms, like around Memorial Day, and still have not fully recovered with taste and smell.
What do you guys want to see as far as the vaccine?
Nothing. I'm not taking it.
I feel more comfortable if Donald Trump's administration were not in the White House. Like, I feel more trusting. However, I'm much like LaTroy in this train of thought. You know, these vaccines are, I treat them like iOS. You know, like, you got to let the first version.
Exactly.
I won't be the guinea pig for the COVID vaccine. But I would be, I'm open to taking one. I got to see people around me taking it and living and being okay.
Yeah. And see, that's my thing. If everybody else taking it, why I gotta take it?
So you,
everybody
you
else got the vaccine.
Are you Jenny McCarthy now? Are you anti-vax?
No, I'm anti anything that ain't been around for a long period of time. Okay. I don't wanna take nothing new. Don't give me nothing new. It need to be around at least for 10, 15 years before I'm okay taking it. Okay, y'all need to do your little test. Y'all need to test it on the rabbits. Y'all need to test it on the people. Y'all need to test it on the rats. Y'all need to test it on the fish. Then come holler at me. I'm not doing no damn special vaccination.
Okay.
No, I'll take NyQuil.
So we're in the midst of it. We're voting early. But what will happen if Trump wins? Let's talk about it. You know, the Republicans will have the court, as the Trump administration really want to throw in there, and Amy Barrett, and she'll be, you know, when people when they are in the court, they sit there for a lifetime, right? So she's going to have the court for our lifetime, right?
They're saying that she...
Her lifetime.
If she gets, practically ours too, because no shade, it's projected.
And
that,
she's younger.
You know, if she gets sworn in, she'll be around for about 40 more years. I don't know about you all, but I'll be in my 70s.
Yes.
In 40 years. So that is the rest of my life, essentially. And I'm Black, I'm a woman, I'm trans, like that, it's lights out for people like me.
Will happen.
And so it's funny that you asked this because this is a question that's honestly been keeping me up at night. I said this back in June. I was doing a lot of press back in June. And I believe that the true test, I think it's gonna sting. It's going to sting if he gets reelected because it would feel like everything that was done back in May and back in June, as far as everyone coming together with these nationwide protests and Black Lives Matter, it would have felt like all of that is in vain. All of that was in vain. You all were all performing and that's what's going to sting. But you know, things are unpredictable. I've been staying away from the poll numbers because we all saw 4 years ago Hillary Clinton was leaving the polls. Yep. And that doesn't mean anything, you know.
When
you factor in things like the damn Electoral College, which still needs to be abolished, and you factor in like how white women essentially betrayed everyone.
Yeah.
And I'm putting the onus on them because, you know, white men were projected to vote for Trump. But I thought it was interesting because earlier this week, it was like 4 years ago. I think it's the day that Kamala and Pence debated, but it was like 4 years ago that day, the pussy grabbing Access Hollywood tape was released. And we see that still didn't do anything because over half of the population of white women in this country were all Hillary and pantsuits and they went in them boots and voted for Donald J. Trump. So it's like, I'm holding my breath, but I'd be lying to you both if I said it's not causing me a lot of anxiety to know that we're 20-something days out and knowing that I'm on the margins of society. Mm-hmm. Like, I am one of the most vulnerable groups in the United States and knowing that it could really mean lights out for me.
Like, everything is against you.
This is a perfect storm. Trump reelected and a conservative Supreme Court making decisions for me about my life.
Right.
Oh, I might as well pack up and leave the United States, which is a thought I've entertained, but it's so damn costly. But, you know...
well, you know they keep telling us to go back to Africa like we was from there. I am not from Africa. I'm from Baltimore, Maryland. Y'all try it.
Okay. I am an American, be clear.
I was born at PG Hospital, ho!
But yeah, so that's my main thing. I've been very, very... I try not to live my life in fear, but I'm very, very fearful of these election results because we've been betrayed, we've been hoodwinked and bamboozled before.
Yeah,
for sure. I think Shaw said.
Troy, when we are in these moments, both of you guys are very quick on the social, right? I want to ask you though, how are you so quick with these Real Housewives of Atlanta memes and tying it to the debates?
My mind goes to two places. It either goes to a song or it goes to NeNe Leakes.
Yeah.
And every time, neither a song or NeNe Leakes has let me down. There's always a song or a NeNe Leakes quote for everything, okay?
That is
so
true.
When I'm posting this stuff on Instagram, it's literally like, even yesterday when there was a fly on Mike Pence's head, I was like, I fly above all the haters. And then so I just went to go find the clip because that's just where my mind goes.
Right.
I don't know why. Something's wrong with me, but thank God for you.
But Troy, the comedy that you're bringing to these situations is probably helping in outreach and relating to the people who might not want to do the work. That's something
to do. You right about that? Bitch, when do you find out I'm a motherfucking activist?
To be factoring in. Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. I'm meeting people where they are without even realizing it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm making it relevant to things that they know and they're paying attention.
Yeah.
My political post, even though I'm not a political person, gets the most traction on my social media.
Yeah, because people are tuned in, and then it gives us also like a it's relief in these heated moments when our worlds are colliding here on the political state. How I want to ask you guys this: climate change was an issue that came up with the vice presidential debate. How important is that to you both? Feel free.
See, that's something I'm not very clear on. Okay. Like, I believe that as we use the earth gets used up, for sure. I'm not really sure what the plan is to do something about it. Like, what are we supposed to stop doing? Using electric? Like, I don't know what that means and what that looks like.
And see, this type of information is available, and I'm not someone who's that well versed in it. We know mm-hmm. terms of the Green New Deal and things like that. But what I can tell you, for certain is that the Trump administration does not believe in climate change, and that is why we're seeing 50 million hurricanes this year. Yeah. That's why, I'm in my apartment on September 20 something, and it gets to rocking in the worst way that it's ever rocked before, because we're dealing with earthquakes, and it's a stark reality that the earth, I almost feel like we're too late. That is what I almost feel like when it comes to climate change. However,
we do something about it.
I know that there's like little things. So like how I try to do my part, like for example, I have stainless steel, like metal straws. I don't use plastic straws.
I have my plastic straw this whole time in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, I got rid of it. I'm doing my part.
But see, I'm saying like little stuff like that. Like I have my own like little grocery bags. And so I drive a Prius type thing. So it's like I try to do my own part in the, in my kind of like, like green footprint, so to speak. But there's only so much that I can do, but I feel like I'm being productive, especially in a city like LA that's kind of ruled by smog and you get the air quality.
I feel like that proves my point when I'm talking about it with you. It's like, well, am I just like, I
why
know
add
Trump
to
doesn't
it?
Believe in it.
Why add
no,
to it?
No, why add to it? But I'm not talking about me. I can only do what I'm going to do. But when we're talking about leadership, what is the leadership going to do about it to fix it?
Like, I think that
Trump doesn't believe, Trump administration doesn't, although I think they do agree with global warming, they just try not to because he owes people money. And he gets a write-off of that.
And fossil
but my
fuel
thing is,
and
fracking.
So then my question is, what is Joe Biden and Camilla? Is it Camilla or what is it?
Kamala.
No, it's not.
It's not Kamala.
No.
Kamala.
What is it?
It is Kamala.
That's what,
Kamala.
My bad. I've been saying Kamala.
Can I call her Kamala?
Okay. Kamala. Yeah. That Kamala is how it is pronounced.
Okay, yeah. Kamala. Like, what is their plan for it? Like, are they just going to say, we got to cut off everybody's power and everybody goes
no,
dark?
No, like LaTroy.
But that's what I'm saying. But no. That's what I'm asking as far as putting it in layman's terms. What is the plan that the everyday person can understand, and how is it going to affect them?
You know what the issue is? And I've been screaming this from the mountaintops for years now. The everyday person don't like to read. Because
then you have to do it that way.
Even though I can't remember every waking detail of last night's debate, but Kamala answered every question, I believe. Now, if I'm mistaken, someone tweet me and let me know. It was Mike Pence who was tap dancing and deflecting around all of the moderator's questions. So, because we know that climate change was brought up in last night's debate, we can then refer, if you don't want to read what's on the Biden-Harris website, I'm sure you can go to YouTube, and there's only so much. You got to do some research.
But that's the thing, and that's why we are stuck with Donald Trump as president, because we cannot depend on people doing the research. We cannot depend on people going the extra mile. That's just how it is.
So
we
what
don't
do
live
we
in
do?
A perfect world.
That's so what do we do?
I don't do nothing. That's why I'm not running for president. That's why I'm asking them, and I'm saying, what are they doing to make sure that people understand what's actually going on? These debates.
But LaTroy, this is linking back to what we were talking about at the top of this show. If people are choosing not to watch debates, if people are choosing not to, hold on, let me finish. If people are choosing not to watch debates, if people are actively choosing not to visit website and read policy, if people are actively choosing maybe not to tune in to a political podcast or pull up a YouTube video, what more is there to do?
There's a whole bunch more that you
like
can
what?
Like we said, everybody's not as educated and tuned in as us.
But the resources are there. That's fine, but the resources are there. If you're not utilizing them, what more? I want to know, what more can they do, in your opinion?
But obviously, there's more that needs to be done, or else we wouldn't have Donald Trump as president. Let's just be honest.
I disagree.
Because Donald Trump, had the tools that they needed, Trump would not be president.
LaTroy, what we cannot ignore is, yes, that is a piece of the pie as to why Donald Trump is our current president. What we cannot ignore is the misogyny and sexism that was at hand and what Hillary went through. Are you forgetting what that election cycle did? How Hillary was trying to be dignified and stuff, and everything Hillary did was criticized, and people have implicit bias against women. That is why Kamala was being called a monster this morning.
Yeah. We're not even there yet.
But what I'm telling you, what I'm telling you,
no, but
what I'm
totally
telling
1,000, I 1,000% agree
LaTroy,
with you.
I'm saying I agree point? With you. No, I would like to finish my point.
It's a point that's not what we're on.
Right, but what I'm saying is, mm-hmm. people being misinformed or not educated is not the sole reason as to why. What I'm saying is it was a recipe, the perfect storm that got Trump in the White House. It is not a reflection of how people are running their campaigns today. That's what I'm saying.
I disagree, and I disagree because Hillary won the popular vote. So if we're saying that it's because people were misogynist, they didn't want to be under a woman, that's not...
That's what I'm saying
is, why didn't people show up? Because they
didn't... I can't answer that.
But that's what I'm telling you. People were not educated. People were not enthused. People,
it sounds like a
all,
choice.
It sounds like a choice to us, but people that are ignorant and that they don't know, and that's the thing. Everybody's vote counts the same. So us being educated is the same vote as somebody that's not educated. And we like to try to negate people because we have entitlement. Let's be very honest. We think, oh, we're very smart. We've done this. We went to school. We've done A, B, and C. But our vote counts just as much as the high school
dropout.
What I'm saying is that a lot of people negate, a lot of candidates negate those people. Like I said, they talk in terms that they don't understand.
So
they
you're saying that Trump resonated with people more than Hillary did. That's how he
got in
the White House.
Because he's an ignorant fool. Yes.
Despite pussy grabbing and a racist campaign.
Absolutely.
It had a lot to do with people not simply, and I hope like this podcast encourages people not voting because either they, i.e., did not like the candidate of a woman and they did not like a bigot such as Trump. So they opted.
No, they did. That's what everybody's missing. They liked an ignorant bigot. They can relate to ignorance. Because they're ignorant. They can relate to how Trump talks and what he does. That's what I'm saying. Like, Trump talks like a 12-year-old. And so when you're uneducated and you don't know better, you relate to what's the most relatable thing to you. So, Char, what's that word you said earlier that I was like, bitch, what's that word?
Trepidation.
And that would have turned, what was it?
Trepidation.
Trepidation? Guess what? That would have turned so many people off because they don't understand it.
I don't
Grabbing
think
somebody
that's what
by the pussy.
I mean, he was literally being racist on stage and all these other things.
He was being racist. He was being ableist. He attacked. And aside from that, this is a man that attacked military people that are deemed heroes within the military. Like, there's so much at hand. And even if that were the case, the last 4 years of his presidency shouldn't inspire anyone to go in that booth and vote for Donald Trump.
But that's what I'm saying. You guys are saying that, but
we see the tax returns.
There's millions of people that don't care about that stuff. That's what I'm saying. It's like we have to meet them where they are because they don't care about his taxes. You think somebody that voted for Donald Trump in 2016 cares about his taxes?
No. I know they don't because they're a cult. But what I'm saying is, in what ways has life improved for Americans under the last 4 years of the Trump administration?
Let me tell you this. There are people that are happy that there are more people are openly more racist. There are people that are happy that people are being more there's more bigotry. So we look at it like, oh no, we don't like it. It's terrible. But there are a bunch of people that like that shit.
And I'm guessing white people.
Yeah, like that.
We see a lot of black people.
There are a lot of black. There's a specific black person that votes for Trump. I will say that, and we know the photos. I want to say
Another 4 years will be doomsday. That's it what I'm saying. Because that'll be that he is going to go balls to the wall. If that man is reelected, he will be balls to the wall. And I don't want anybody who did not vote. I don't want anybody who voted for him specifically if they're of color and or a woman. I'm not trying to hear nothing. When we all got on our red habits and saying under his eye and you know, living the Handmaid's Tale, the reality show, I don't want to hear from anyone who did not participate in this process. That's a personal preference, and it even applies on Twitter. There's a lot of people that I follow, a lot of people who I've been in conversation with, who, like I said, I understand the disillusionment with, you know, there's no third party, and if you write in, you're going to mess everything. I get that. But right now, what we're dealing with is a two-party system. That's just what we're dealing with. And no one is saying that voting for Joe Biden, and I think Angelica Ross, I want to give credit to her for mentioning this. No one is saying, and I'm paraphrasing, no one's saying that, you know, we're going to vote Biden and Harrison and there's going to be some sort of honeymoon phase. As soon as they're voted in, it's going to be feet to the flames. It's going to be accountability. It has to be. Because if Trump is reelected, I don't
want to entertain that. I want to ask you guys this though. I know for me, when it comes to just being outwardly outspoken about who we're voting for, I have found myself in this process getting over the trepidatiousness of it and the hesitation of being.
Every time you hear that word, take a shot. Everybody. Okay.
Every time I feel I have to take myself out of, I don't know what it is. It's like an older, like Southern, you know, Midwestern mindset of like, I'm not, you know, telling my party. Cause like, that's just how I saw the older people in my life growing up. But now we are in, you know, like trying time. So I feel like it's more so for the better to be outwardly of who you're voting
yes.
for. But have you guys shared in that? Like, you're like,
well, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that because I am drinking from a Wendy mug, even though she's been getting on my nerves. Mm-hmm. Wendy Williams is someone who has been frustrating me. Like, I relate to that, Archie, because I too come from that. Because
you're like, that's a personal thing. It's a person. Yes. It's been a personal thing growing up.
However, we are in times right now where being apolitical and straddling the fence is a disservice to everyone.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I brought up Wendy because her political hot take over the past week and a half has been trash, because you can tell she's trying to straddle the fence.
Teeter.
And you really have to pick a side because, yeah. I mean, really, like at this point, I feel like being visible, all three of us are visible Black folks, mm-hmm. you know, like you want to make sure that you can go on record and say you were on the right side of history.
Right.
Now is not the time. We are not living in the times of the first Bush or Reaganomics and all of that, where people, and largely, you know, a lot of Black people are conservative. Like, we know that, right? If the Republican Party weren't so racist, I'd venture to say tons more Black people. The vast majority would
be
on
that voted
the
for
Party
Trump.
Of the Red. Yeah, I do. However, I understand that thought of, like, concealing your vote, but I think that it does a disservice today.
Yeah, today.
In 2020?
Absolutely.
In 2020, it does a disservice.
Absolutely.
Say it like you mean it.
I agree.
Yes. Okay. I love that. You know what? I have to say, Char, you know they're behind you, right? We're on your Zoom screen.
Oh,
Kamala.
Yes.
Kamala.
Yes.
Like, you know, she set it up, honey. What is
okay.
this, honey?
Listen.
Well, no, I watch the readout every day. Joy Ann Reid on MSNBC. You know, she's the first Black woman to lock down.
Yeah, the new
time.
Show.
Yeah, well, it's not so much new. I mean, it's its first season, but it's been around for a few months now, Archie.
Yeah, I mean, it's less than 6 months. I mean, it was a big deal when it came out over the summer.
Yeah, she made history.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank y'all for doing this with me. I feel like if you haven't taken away anything from today, go vote and exercise your right to vote. Make sure you are registered, because right now you got about 2 days in some places.
Hold on, I have something to say.
And do your damn research.
Okay.
No one's going to do your homework for you. It's like school. No one's going to do your homework for you.
Troy, what do you have to say?
We need to start asking people who they're going to vote for before we make sure that they registered. Stop registering all these Donald Trump supporters. You need to be like, hey, yo, who you voting for? And if they say Biden, you're like, okay, cool, here's the site. If they say Trump, do not tell them how to register. Don't tell them where early voting is. Don't tell them where to drop their ballot off. This is a time, because everybody tries to be very political about it. Everybody wants to be like, oh, you know, your vote is your choice and it's private. No, it ain't. make sure they voting for the right people. You know how they try, you know how they're trying to defund the police? Yeah. They need to deregister some people. Okay. We need to find out who voting for who.
I'm gagged.
We shouldn't vote everybody. We should not register everybody. Let's be very clear. If they vote for Trump, leave them unregistered.
Listen.
And y'all laughing. I'm dead ass serious because we be out here trying to get everybody registered to vote, and then we're gonna be mad come November.
That is a tactic as well. That is
make sure ask them like, oh, you registered? Who you vote? You vote for Trump? Out of there.
Okay, don't go to jail in the process. But
we all going to jail anyway. If he the president again, he's gonna lock our black asses right the fuck up.
Stand on the right side of history. Thank God for Jesus. Stand on the right side of history. Shar Jussel, how can the people keep up with you?
Gosh, I feel like this episode raised my blood pressure. I'm really not always like this, you all. We were having a spirited discussion. Anywho, you can find me across the board at Shar Says So. That's Shar with an S. And that says so, not say so. So Sharsayso.
LaTroy?
And you can find me across everything, Mr. L. Davis, that's MRLDAVIS. Let's get it crunk.
I love to see it. You know, we all have a calling, and your real job in life is to find out what that is. I hope you'll tune in with me right here next week on the Archie J Experience Millennial Conversations. What's your experience? I love you for listening. And until we speak again, follow me at Archie J Speaks and the podcast at the Archie J Experience.